Good morning. It is Thursday, October the 8th in beautiful, cloudy Sandpoint, Idaho. Cloudy and sort of drizzly. You're listening to the 88.5 KRFY morning show with your hosts this morning, Jack and Alyssa. Alyssa Wads,
yeah,
board member.
Good morning, Jack.
And this is your first time hosting the morning show, right?
With you, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You have been in here before.
Yeah, a couple of times.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And how are you? How are you today?
I'm good. Yeah. I biked down this morning. It's still pretty soggy out there.
Yeah, that was an interesting choice.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of chilly, but warming up rapidly. It's 52 degrees currently in Sandpoint, Idaho. There is a 20% chance of rain and patchy fog, and then cloudy today, high of 64. But we were just saying that they said 20% chance of rain yesterday too.
And I know it could rain again.
Yeah, turned into quite a day. Tonight the low is down to about 45. Tomorrow it looks like the sun might come back. High near 73 and partly sunny. Light and variable wind becoming southwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour tomorrow afternoon. And then tomorrow night, mainly after 11 p.m., it looks like we might get some more showers. The lows are still only down into the 40s. Not nothing. No real risk of frost this weekend, it doesn't look like. But new precipitation amounts less than a tenth of an inch for Friday night. It does look like what was once predicted to be a very clear weekend is kind of turning into a little bit of a cloudy, rainy weekend.
I think it's okay.
It is, yeah.
We haven't had that for such a long time.
No, it's been forever. So yeah. It's finally October and fall has arrived. Might get down into the 30s on Sunday night, but other than that, that's the story. That's what we are looking forward to.
Okay.
We have a couple of guests in the studio this morning. We have Gabrielle Burns and Emma Reed, who are our representatives this morning from the SHS Model United Nations. And thank you guys for coming in. What a treat.
Thank you for having us.
Are you guys skipping school today, or what time does school start?
About 4 minutes ago.
Oh, you are skipping school. Okay. Well, I'm glad we can write you a hall pass or something, I guess. But thanks for taking the time to come in and join us and talk about the Model United Nations. You guys have an event coming up this weekend.
We do the International Evening.
Yeah. What does that mean? Where is the International Evening?
The International Evening is at the Pondere Event Center, and it's a fundraiser so that we can go to a youth conference in New York.
Well, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
We should talk more about that later in the show, but right off the bat, I do want to ask what the Model United Nations is. How long have you guys been involved? I'll start with Gabrielle. How long have you been involved in Model United Nations?
This is actually my first year becoming involved. I didn't have room in my schedule beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Model United Nations is essentially a mock United Nations, for those of you who know what that is. It was formed after World War II and does a lot of human rights type work, peace building, and whatnot. And so it's training youth leaders to become that and learn about human rights and how that works.
Hmm, cool. Is this your first year as well?
Yeah.
Emma Reed?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. The Model United Nations do you know how long there has been a Model United Nations here in Sandpoint by any chance?
About 8 years.
Okay. So it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a brand new thing. This has been around for a little while. Who's the teacher or the administrator behind this?
Miss Smith or Debbie Smith.
Debbie Smith is involved. Well, it sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Is this an extracurricular kind of activity, or is it in class?
It's a class? It's a class, but it's very time consuming outside of that.
Yeah,
I can imagine.
Uh-huh. Right. There's travel involved. For example, not like a
not going down a Coeur d'Alene,
no,
across the country. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, what the Model United Nations is for those who are unfamiliar. My impression of it is that like everybody's assigned a country, and then you guys have to work out world peace over the course of a semester or something like that. Is that about right?
Each class is given a country based on their delegation size. So your delegation is how many are going to attend the trip in New York. So the larger classes get the larger countries, and then the smaller classes get the smaller countries.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what are the countries that are on your list?
Our top choice for the year is Estonia. Mm-hmm. And then I believe our second was Iceland.
Okay. And when do you find out which country you represent at the conference?
I believe after the international evening.
It must be when we register.
Okay.
Or when everyone's registered.
Mm-hmm. So this is, so you will go to New York and represent ideally Croatia, it sounds like.
Estonia.
Estonia. My goodness. Okay, I'm going to drink some coffee. But you will go and represent Estonia in New York. Will there be other,
is this a national high school model, mm-hmm. United Nations, and about participants from 40 different countries come.
Oh, wow.
So it's a very big deal.
Yeah.
It's located at the UN headquarters in New York City.
So your actual conference is at the UN?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Do you get to use the room? You know, the big...
The General Assembly?
Yes.
I believe so.
Oh, wow.
I know. I'm really excited.
For some of the committees, I think they might use the General Assembly at some point, but also there's many, many different committees for, you know, CSW, which is like a women's rights committee. Then there's main committees and special committees. So they're going to be all over probably.
Wow. So I guess you guys have... You are learning about how the real United Nations works, and you already sound sort of familiar with it. It's early in the school year, but yeah. Why did you choose to participate in this? Why did you choose this class? Go ahead, Gabby.
Well, I had no intention of taking it last year. I was taking art this year, but then I didn't end up doing that. Last year in my global issues class, I was doing this project to teach about girls' education and promote awareness in my school. And Miss Smith saw me doing that, and she asked if I wanted to join the class because she thought it might be really interesting for me. And at first I was like, no, I'm taking art. But I ended up deciding to take it.
Emma, how come you joined up?
I honestly didn't really hear about it until the end of the year. The end of freshman year. So I had already had my schedule full for freshman year, but then, oh my gosh, sophomore year's coming up, I can get more electives. And then I heard about Model UN and I was like, this is amazing. Where has this been all my life? So.
So this is a regular, is it a daily class or every other day or something?
We go on an AB schedule in Sandpoint at the high school. So this is a B day class. No, A day. So every other day.
Every other day. Okay.
And it sounds like, so it's an elective that any student can take. It's not closed.
Yeah.
It's not just upperclassmen or anything.
Freshmen through seniors.
Cool. Mm-hmm. How many, do you know roughly how many total students are participating? Or how big's your class? And then how many students? Go ahead.
I think about 10 or 11 students are actually going on the trip. But mm-hmm. our class is significantly larger than that. I was 20, 25 probably.
A bit, so it's a fairly popular, it sounds like. That's kind of cool. And I mean, this is it's the SHS Model UN, but you don't have to be a student at SHS to do it. Is that right? Do you know?
No, yeah. You do have to be a student because the class is the main thing that we do. I don't know if other schools have MUNs in the area, but
well, never mind. My mistake. I was misinformed. But well, that's still pretty cool. We have another possible guest showing up, who the other Gabby, who I haven't seen her yet, but she has actually been on this trip before.
Yes.
Have you guys have heard about it a little bit? You're looking forward to it?
Very much.
You hear good things? Yeah. Well, what can we expect from this upcoming international evening? What's that supposed to look like?
The international evening is where every student in the class is representing a country. So all the students are going to be dressed in traditional clothing from their country. We're going to have food from all around the world. and we're going to have a silent auction.
Some of this food will be Senegalese mafé, which is a vegan rice dish, also gluten-free. Quiche mousse. We have a lot of French representation. Very good food. Baklava, Indian masala, some Nepalese or Pal food. I don't know.
Nepalese
food. They're momos. Colombian cheese balls and pad thai.
Oh, wow. Very varied.
Yeah. It was quite an international collection. Mm-hmm. Cool.
So do you have a fundraising goal for your international night?
Each trip for the individual person going costs around $2,000. So we're trying to get as close as that goal for each person as possible. So
that's partly, there must be a ticket price to come to this. And then partly it is the silent auction?
Yes. The silent auction, each student goes around to different businesses and gets items. Some are larger, some are smaller, and there's no really limit. So whatever is received from that goes directly to them.
Okay. And then if people want to go to the international night, can you tell us how they can buy tickets? Or
You can go to the high school and talk to Mrs. Smith, or I believe we're selling them at the door.
We are selling them at the door. You can also contact any NHS high school student, because we all have tickets.
Oh, okay. So you guys could sell me a pair right now, or right after the show, I guess. Okay.
If you want to come, that'd be perfect.
Okay. Good to know. So, talking more about the Model UN, this is just one. It's one semester, right? Or is it?
It's
does it go on
all year?
Oh, okay.
I mean, not during the summer, but
yeah. And then can you take it again, or is it one class?
Yeah, you can take it every year of high school if you so desire.
Oh, cool. So it's an ongoing, it is more like almost an extracurricular activity or like a sport or something that you just keep going.
In a lot of ways, it really is. I mean, we do meet in the summer sometimes when we're doing our silent auction items and also outside of school to organize everything.
Yeah.
So I know the school year isn't, you know, we've only been going for, 4 weeks or so, but what does a class look like? Like what does it, when you go to your MUN class, what do you do?
Usually we start off by studying the millennial goals, and we'll write, we'll answer some questions based on that. And the human rights, we'll look at some of the human rights and write responses.
The Universal Declaration of Human Rights is what we're learning about as well.
That's the current course matter subject, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the millennial goals are. What is that?
Millennial goals are something that the UN set, like some specific goals to try and reach by 2015.
The real UN. I mean, not the model UN, but the actual.
Yes,
United
the
Nations.
Real United Nations. Such as better education, more access to medication, first aid, and things like that. So, yeah, we've been learning about that, and that's been really interesting.
So do you guys learn how to do public speaking? Do you practice that? And
yes, we're all going to be giving little one-minute presentations at the international evening. So.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you'll be representing a country at the international night, and you'll be in that costume that and speak for a minute on that country. Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. That sounds like a dinner and a show. Sort of. A nice entertainment. Do you know what do you have in the silent auction? What kind of items do you have?
Some of our larger items are 4 founders tickets to one game.
What? Sorry, go ahead.
4 founders, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Seattle.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
8 tickets for a box suite at the Spokane Chiefs.
Wow.
A half page full color ad in the Daily Bee. 7-night stay and play at condo package at the Pondere Shores Resort. Downhill skis from Sandpoint Sports. 6-month gym pool membership for 2 at Pondere Shores Resort. And a Schweitzer getaway pass package are some of our items. And we have many, many more.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I kind of, in the spirit of international cooperation, I kind of want to take a musical break. You said it was Vladimir Putin's birthday yesterday.
Yes, it was.
Yes. And he was born in the USSR, I believe. So,
he was?
Yeah. So we do have the Beatles queued up. Did you know, speaking of the Beatles, a little trivia for you, or a little more trivia for you, the Beatles haircut was born on this week in 1961.
That's that shaggy look?
Yeah, the bowl cut.
Okay.
When Paul and John, celebrating John's 21st birthday in Paris, met up with Jürgen Vollmer, a friend from Hamburg, who wore his hair brushed forward in a cut popular with French teens. The Beatles adopted this haircut, and Jürgen gave them haircuts in their hotel room. And then, and that was this week, 1961, so
wow.
54 years ago.
And they were young then.
Yes, they were. They were young men at the time. But here is the Beatles with Back in the USSR. We'll be back to talk a little bit more about the Model United Nations and the International Evening after this. Plus, later in the hour, Nathan from Scotchman Peaks is coming down the hall to talk about the upcoming N Plane Air event out there. Stick around. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. The KRFY Morning Show is broadcast every Tuesday and Thursday, live at 8 a.m. Tune in to 88.5 or stream us live from our website at 8 o'clock to hear the complete and unedited program, including musical selections. Due to our licensing, we are unable to include full songs in our downloadable podcasts. We now return to the KRFY Morning Show. That's the Beatles. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. Jack and Alyssa here hosting the KRFY Morning Show this morning with our guests, Gabrielle and Emma from the SHS Model United Nations. Thanks again for being here, guys. Let's talk about the Model United Nations, mm-hmm. And especially the trip to New York, which is what this is all about, what the big fundraiser is all about. You'll represent one country as a group. I mean, rather than individually representing that country, you'll go as sort of a delegation, the delegation from Estonia or Iceland or whatever it ends up being. You don't know yet. You filled in an application or something, or you've made your top choices.
Yeah.
But you don't know yet
what's going
to happen. So when you get there, what happens?
Well, you choose, each mm-hmm. person in the delegation tries to go for a certain committee that they want to do. There's a lot of different committees, but depending on which country you end up being, certain committees that country is not involved in, so.
And everybody kind of takes their job, and then you and other high school students from around the country will, go ahead, Gabrielle.
Beforehand, you know what committee I believe you're going to be on, so you're doing quite a bit of research before the conference happens,
mm-hmm.
so that when you go there, you are prepared to speak. And depending, if you're on a GA main, which is one of the really large committees, you might not speak because there's 400 kids,
mm-hmm.
and it's probably pretty nerve-wracking to speak with 400 kids.
Mm-hmm.
But
each mm-hmm. committee handles certain topics. Sometimes there are two topics. So I'm interested in doing Security Council. And so the topics that we're doing this year is the territorial disputes in the South China Sea and the situation in Yemen. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So that's if you. That's the Security Council meeting is going to be talking about that. Are those already assigned as the topics by the national organization?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And that's, so have you guys been already started to do research on that?
I have. Yeah. It's a very mm-hmm. interesting, very interesting situation.
Yeah. And
in the process, when we were deciding on a country, we looked at all the different committees offered this year and then mm-hmm. decided which ones we thought were the most interesting and went for countries with those committees.
sorry, just waving to our next guest who is waiting in the wings patiently. The committee that, or is there a particular committee you're interested in, Gabrielle?
I am really interested in the AU, which is the African Union. However, I don't get the feeling we're going to be involved in that one. But yeah. I tried. But this year they're dealing with girls' secondary education and combating the Boko Haram, which is something I'm really interested in.
Okay. Yeah. It kind of sounds like you guys are interested in international issues general.
Yeah.
Do you think after you participate in this, maybe after you graduate high school, do you see international travel in your future?
Definitely. Yeah. Something I've been wanting to for a while. So
absolutely. I would really like to work internationally with these sort of issues.
Yeah. Are you specifically interested in Estonia for any particular reason?
We didn't actually nominate that country. I was hoping for Morocco. Ugh. But you know what? Estonia seems pretty interesting as well. I haven't really learned about it that much, but
that's very diplomatic. I can tell that your skills are improving already.
I believe one of the reasons it was chosen is because it has the Women's Rights Committee, and it was one of the only countries that had that we were eligible for because of our delegation size, and a lot of people are really interested in that.
I see.
We have an all-girls class this year, so...
Yeah, so I admit,
that might be some part of it.
I think so. So you'll go. I mean, you'll go to New York and represent Estonia, ideally, or Iceland, or another of your picks, and go to these different committees as individuals. But is there a You try to like represent the point of view of real life Estonians, right?
Yes.
When you go, you don't adopt your own position necessarily. You go and or do you? I'm not exactly sure how it works. Go ahead.
Essentially, Emma. If you're a delegate of Estonia, for example, then you would be representing their viewpoint. Like it's not yours. You have to adopt their political views. So you even talk in third person when you're at the formal one. You'll be saying, like, the delegate of Estonia disagrees with that, or...
Yeah. Okay.
So I looked up some things about the MUN and found it very interesting how they talk like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead, Gabrielle.
We are modeling just what it's like to be a diplomat from Estonia and how to deal with the issues from that country.
Yeah. But you don't get to... I don't know. I mean, if the Estonian position in real life is more, I don't know, if it is not the women's rights position that you yourself favor, you still have to adopt that position and argue it, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that can be a little difficult, but
yeah,
challenges
Sounds
are
like
interesting.
Debating skills.
Yes.
You can take any position and defend it.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So do you study how to debate?
Not yet. Currently, we're still working on the international evening.
Okay.
But as soon as that over, I think we're going to dive more deeply into the UN itself.
Okay.
Wow. Will you back in Sandpoint, aside from from what you do as a class when you go to New York, when you are in Sandpoint, do you all get countries? Do you do that thing where you kind of pretend to, you know, debate one another in the Model UN? You know, you're not going to do that?
I don't believe so.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine too. It's kind of cool that you learn to work rather as a delegation rather than individual diplomats. Mm-hmm. That's a neat approach.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You are listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY, talking to Emma Reed and Gabrielle Burns, our representatives from the Model United Nations. What countries are you representing at the upcoming international evening? We got to talk a little bit more about that.
I'm representing Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be representing Senegal.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah. Very, very different countries.
And you've been, I guess, in class, you've been like researching that, preparing your presentation. What can we expect from Costa Rica and Senegal? Briefly. I don't know. What's the most interesting thing you've learned about Senegal? How about that?
Well, they have a really amazing culture, wonderful cities. They really like clothing there. Interesting clothing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a great outfit, by the way. Uh-huh. And yeah, food. They eat a lot of fish. It's right on the west coast of Africa.
All right.
Important port.
Sounds delicious. How about Costa Rica?
Well, what I learned was actually pretty fascinating was that they have 121 volcanic formations. Only 7 are active, though, so that's good.
That is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was a little surprised.
Small country. They have a lot of volcanoes.
It only occupies 0.03 of the Earth's surface.
0.03 of the Earth. How about that? We are learning right here. The International Evening, give us the details again. When and where and where can we get tickets, all that?
It will be Saturday, October 10th. It's coming up fast from 6 to 9 p.m. And you can get tickets at the high school from Debbie Smith or email debbie.smith. And that's D-E-B-B-I-E Smith at LPOSD.org, Lake Pondere School District. Mm-hmm. And contact any MUN student.
Okay. It's at their the ticket. How much do they cost?
They cost $25 each, mm-hmm. or 2 for $40.
Okay. You get the deal.
And you can get them at the door. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're not sold out.
If they're not sold out. Right. That's true.
Yes. I suppose.
Gotta get them fast.
Mm-hmm. You guys looking forward to it?
Yeah.
A fun Saturday night?
Yeah.
We've been preparing for this all summer.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. So hopefully it goes well.
Do you have any other surprises planned? No. It would be a surprise. You can't tell away. Me on the radio. But everyone's gonna go. Are we encouraged to dress up or anything like that? If the guests, or do you just have to you just show up and are entertained by the interesting costumes from the
look
class?
Look nice, I guess. I haven't heard anything about it being formal.
Okay.
Yeah. Semi-casual.
Comb my hair. Well, thank you guys for coming in. Are we forgetting anything? Is there anything we forgot to ask you guys about?
I don't believe so.
All right. Well, you'll have to get off to class. What did you miss this morning?
Geometry.
English.
Not really missing anything.
No, unimportant. Don't worry about it. This is... this is 88.5 KRFY, Panhandle Community Radio. The position of Panhandle Community Radio is, of course, that all classes are important. I was only speaking for myself there. But the representatives from the Model UN have been Gabrielle Burns and Emma Reed. Thank you so much for coming in. We can take a little break, and I'll play some more music. It was this week, in 1978, that Marvin Gaye filed for bankruptcy. How about that? so
Marvin
that's,
Gaye.
I know, poor Marvin Gaye. It was reported that he filed for bankruptcy in 1978. So I'm sure he had some questions about that, like what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Somebody must have asked him what's going on. I bet there were a lot of puns in the newspaper at that time. But this is Marvin Gaye. The song is What's Going On. We'll be back with Scotchman Peaks, actually, talk a little bit about the In Plain Air event. Thank you very much for coming in this morning. Stick around. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY.
Hey, hey, hey. Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man. Yeah, I can dig it.
The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. It's Panhandle Community Radio. That was Marvin Gaye. We were just talking with the Model United Nations from SHS. It was nice to hear from them. Microphones are on. We have a new guest in the studio. Gabrielle and Emma have gone away, and we have Nathan Minot here, the, did you say projects coordinator, programs coordinator?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. From the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. And thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. What is the big deal? What's coming up? It's the In Plein Air event.
Yeah, so this Saturday we're having a big event out at the Outskirts Gallery in Hope. And it's an event that focuses on this style of art called In Plein Air, which is a French term used to describe art that's made out in the open air. And so it can be any kind of art, but it's often painting, and it's a cool style that sort of takes the impression that an artist gets, and they try to immediately translate it onto a piece of canvas or paper. Hmm. And so we're going to have a couple workshops that can teach artists or aspiring artists how to paint in this style, and we'll also have some artists out in the field making art during the course of the day. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you're a beginner, can you participate, or absolutely, do you have to be an artist?
Yeah, no, you can be a beginner. In fact, I think most of the people participating in the workshops will be beginners.
Okay.
Sort of the intention is to make more artists, you know, so that more mm-hmm. people are able to go out into the Scotchman's or any other beautiful place that they can find and use their talents to reproduce the beauty they find there.
It's In Plein Air is not, that is not au naturel, right? Those are not interchangeable terms.
No.
Okay.
No.
That's, I think I made that joke last year, actually, but around this time. So it's fully closed and out of doors, ideally, if the weather cooperates, but otherwise, I mean, where do you go if you're going to participate? Where do you show up? Where and when?
So the Outskirts Gallery in Hope, Idaho shares space with the Hope Marketplace. That is at 620 Wellington Place in Hope, Idaho.
Okay.
And there's we're asking people to register if they want to participate in the workshops. There are three workshops during the course of the day. There's one at 10, one at 11, and one at 2, I believe. Mm-hmm. And those workshops will be taught by local artists. We have Greg Caudill, Aaron Johnson, and Allison Barrows-Young, who are all up-and-coming artists from this region who are gaining wider attention. So it's a great time to get in and learn something from them.
Hmm. Do they all... I don't know that much about this at all. Is it like... Do they all use the same materials, or is there different? Do you know anything about their style of painting? Is it like watercolor?
I think medium. I know that In Plein Air is often done with both watercolors or acrylics. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about these specific artists. Mm-hmm. They might do either.
Mm-hmm.
they are all painters, though.
Yeah,
and it's like they're going to be kind of teaching a seminar or something. Mm-hmm.
They are. Yep. There'll be hour-long workshops.
Do the participants get to paint also?
They will. Yeah.
Everybody kind of sits out with...
Yeah. They'll get to practice. But then after you take a workshop, we'll have the opportunity to go out into the Scotchman's and paint and practice and make art and... Mm-hmm. Be an artist and take it back to the gallery, and then we're going to have an art show that evening. At 7 o'clock, we'll open up the show, and there will be prizes on the art, and all of the proceeds from the show will benefit both the artists and the Friends of Scotchman Peaks. The revenues will be split.
Wow.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, is that a style where you produce the art really quickly?
It is, yeah. So the intention is for artists to not, they're small pieces. And it's a rapid rendition, almost like a snapshot, as much of a snapshot as an artist can take. And where they just, they see it and they immediately put it onto canvas or paper.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and everything at the auction will have been painted that day, it sounds right. like.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's like a race slash art sale or something. I yeah. don't know. I guess, why are you doing this now? Why at this time of year? Do you know?
Well, it's a beautiful time of year out in the Scotchmans, for mm-hmm. one. But it's also a time where things are sort of winding down mm-hmm. for a lot of people. We don't have the summer bustle going on. And so it is a time when you can sort of sit back and do art or something else that you find you're passionate about mm-hmm. And want to improve in.
Do you have
the fall colors?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's the foliage.
The foliage.
Foliage.
Yeah. Foliage,
yes.
Yeah.
Not foliage. Foliage. is there a backup plan if it rains all day?
I don't think rain is in the forecast, but
hopefully not.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Let's forget that that's a possibility.
Okay. Well, just fingers crossed.
Yeah.
But you go to the, you start at the gallery either way. The
right.
What's it called yep. again?
It's the Outskirts Gallery.
Outskirts Gallery.
Mm-hmm. It's at the Hope Marketplace.
I can picture it, yep. I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's yeah a vivid building. Mm-hmm. It's hard to miss.
Mm-hmm. It's a landmark in Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you register?
You register by... calling or emailing Callie Thurman, who runs the Outskirts Gallery. Her phone number is 208-265-5696, or you can email her at Callie Thurman, spelled KallyThurman, @gmail.com.
And is this information also on your website
or
Facebook page?
You can go to scotchmanpeaks.org, and under the stewardship tab, look at the event schedule, and you can find a page with all of this information on it.
Okay.
And yeah.
That's an easy way. Prices for the workshops?
So if you register today or tomorrow, it'll be a $25 fee. And if you register on the day of the workshops, that's a $30 fee.
Okay. Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah. What do you do for Scotchman Peaks over the winter? What does your job look like?
My job looks like, so we have a lot of things going on. Everyone asks me that and sort of has the impression that we shut down operations, but that's pretty far from what's going to happen. We have a huge education program that I'm just starting to put together called the Winter Tracks Program. At this point, we're going to partner with... Forest and Bird Charter School, Sandpoint High School, the Alternative High School, an urban youth program from Spokane, Libby Schools, and Knoxon Public Schools, and get kids out of the classroom and into a hands-on learning environment. It's called Winter Tracks for a reason. The intention is to teach students a little bit more about our local ecology and specifically our local wildlife and the wildlife that not only survives but kind of thrives through the winter months, through these harsh months.
Hmm. That's cool.
It is cool. I didn't know any of that.
No, is that kind of a new? Is that a new thing?
It started last year. Okay. Yeah, it was a new initiative last year, and it's kind of blown up, taken off.
Yeah. Is it too late? I missed all the volunteer weekends this year, I'm afraid. I wish I hadn't. I said I was going to come out and do it.
We hear that a lot.
Yeah.
It is too late now, unfortunately. We wrapped up our summer stewardship a couple weekends ago on Morris Creek.
Mm-hmm.
That was our last stewardship event for the National Public Lands Day.
Hmm. It was a... sort of an interesting summer,
it was.
I imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Between the fires and the goats.
Mm-hmm.
That's what comes to mind for me anyway.
Yeah, those were the big news items in the Scotchman's over summer.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest one being fire, you know. There were three fires in the Scotchman's, actually. The Scotchman Peak fire was sort of the most talked about, but by far the largest was the Napoleon Fire in western Montana. And it came up against private property lines along a good portion of the Bull River Highway down there and caused a good number of evacuations and was the main threat to a lot of people.
How was the, what is the Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, or what does it look like now? How has it changed since the fire?
So, I think it was about 14,000 acres in total is the burned area. Our proposal is over 60, so it's not a large portion of it. And the misperception that a lot of people have is that that burned area is just absolutely desecrated space. Mm-hmm. They think of, like, this area is burned, it's just charred and black. Mm-hmm. And that rarely is the case. The way fires move through our forests here is that they creep along the forest floor. And it's somewhat rare for them to actually get up into the canopy of the trees. And so they move in this mosaic pattern where they're pushed along in fingers and runs by winds and topography. And so there are still islands in the middle of the burned areas that are not burned. And there are some areas that are burned more than others, some that just the undergrowth is burned, and some that aren't really burned at all.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it isn't just it's not like a
wasteland.
No,
it's not. It's actually a healthy process, a regenerative process in the life of a forest. What we're going to undertake a monitoring project that'll have us, we'll have volunteers doing trail inventories, habitat monitoring, and photographical documentation. And what we're going to look for or hope to see is that we have this sort of beautiful landscape develop where we have sort of stands of trees, glades of trees that went untouched by the fires, with, you know, new trees coming up in some middling burned out areas. And then the areas that were hit pretty hard, bare grass will move in the next few years and create some open spaces.
Okay.
And what the other big question is, what are we going to do about these goats? What's that all about?
Sounds like it's more of a human problem than a goat problem.
Yeah, what are we going to do about these people?
Yeah.
So the goats are a problem, but they're only a problem because people have taught them how to be a problem.
Right. You know? Yeah. It is more of a people problem, like you said.
And we can only do so much, but we're going to try to continue to keep educating people that goats, despite how cute or friendly they look, they are not your friend. Mm-hmm. They're wild animals. And just like any other wild animal, you don't want them near you. You don't want them licking you. You don't want them eating out of your hand. It's just not a good idea. They have to defend themselves out there. They have to get what they want. The main issue has come from people letting them lick their legs and arms for electrolytes, for their sweat. Mm-hmm. Goats have trouble getting enough electrolytes up there. And so human sweat is kind of their Gatorade, and they love it. And when people let them get close enough and feed them, and they can get a little insistent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when accidents happen.
Yeah. Are goats that have never seen people, are they naturally just not that afraid of people, or is this a learned behavior?
This is definitely a learned behavior.
Yeah.
Goats, unhabituated goats, goats who have never encountered people, mm-hmm. are pretty scared by people.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, if you encounter a goat down in the forest, there's a very small chance that it'll actually come up to you. The only place they do that is up on the crags, where they feel that they're very safe. They don't have any predators that approach them on the crags, and so it's the only place where they feel that they can approach someone else up there.
Do you have any recommendation, like if somebody does go out hiking and a goat comes up to you, what do you do?
Toss a rock at it.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to like try to peg it in the face. Just sort of pick up a rock and toss it at its feet. The goat will get startled and move away. The last time I was up there, there's one who's still pretty insistent, and you just got to be diligent about keeping them at a safe distance. We don't want them to, you know, feel that they're entitled to whatever people bring up there. And we certainly don't want any conflict.
The trail was closed in, I mean, for fires and then for goats.
Right. So the story there is that a closure order was about to go into effect right after the fire started. If the fire hadn't started that weekend, the next week the trail would have been closed for the goat problem. But the fire started, and so the Forest Service closed the trail for fire because that was the more pressing issue. We were out there the last day before it was closed, building on the Scotchman reroute, and it was raining ash on us. So that was probably a good idea. But that doesn't mean that the goat problem has resolved itself. The intention behind keeping it closed for the rest of the season is that goats forget how to ask people for food, and they sort of learn how to be wild animals again.
I see. So the trail is still closed now?
It is still closed.
And will it not open until next summer? Or
we don't know.
Yeah.
That's up to a number of parties. And we're kind of hoping that it will be reopened for winter, so that, you know, the few brave souls who want to charge their way up there on snowshoes can. It's really, really rare to see a goat in the winter months anyway. And so it's really unlikely that there's a problem with that. So that's what we're hoping for, but we'll see if it happens.
Yeah. We are running low on time. Let's refresh our memories on the upcoming event this weekend.
Yeah, so 8th annual Incline Air Paint Out. It's at the Hope Marketplace Outskirts Gallery. That's 620 Wellington Place in Hope, Idaho. And to register, contact Callie Thurman at 208-265-5696 or Callie Thurman, K-A-L-L-Y, T-H-U-R-M-A-N at gmail.com or visit scotchmanpeaks.org/stewardship/events-schedule. And registration is $25 today or tomorrow or $30 the day of the event.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for coming in. I hope the event goes well.
Yeah,
hope we
thank
get a
you.
Good turnout.
Me too.
Alyssa, should we talk a little bit about the other upcoming events? There are some sort of interesting ones. Here, let me hand you a sheet of paper, and that's what I'm doing right now.
Okay.
There you go. Take a look at that. Nathan, you can stick around if you want. If you have commentary, you're welcome to provide it. We only have a few minutes, and I did want to mention one or two things. Like, for example, Eric Spence is hosting, it's The Conversation with Eric Spence. He's the founder of the Sandpoint Filmmakers Network, and he'll be presenting Filmmaking on a Budget and How to Build Your Local Network. That's from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Ivano's. Ivano's Ristorante. It sounds interesting.
It does.
And I think, yeah, I'd like to hear more about that. He's the director of photography of three Sandpoint film shorts, including his own personal film project, The County Poorhouse. They're all scheduled to be shown at the Sandpoint Film Festival in November. All artists from the Sandpoint area are invited to this free event to network tonight at Arlo's from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. You can call 263-1592 for more information. That's tonight. The U-Pick Pumpkin Patch is also open. That's the last item I have on my sheet of paper here is that the U-Pick Pumpkin Patch at Hickey Farms is open this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all weekend long, out on Highway 200 east of town. Yeah. Does anything catch your eye there on the weekend events calendar?
It's Harvest Fest, the Sandpoint Farmers Market. Last market is this Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Go out and get your pumpkins.
Lots of good music. It's a party over there.
Yeah. This is the last one.
It's the last one already. It went That's really sad. Fast.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
What time is that? Is it the usual schedule?
Time? Is it 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's around those hours.
Mm-hmm.
Does anything else there? We are almost out of time, but anything else before we go?
Well, just that we have the Scotchman Peaks event, so yes, Saturday afternoon, morning through afternoon, and then the Model UN fundraiser is Saturday night, so that could be a busy day.
It is going to be a busy Saturday.
Yeah.
It's time for Bird Note, so that's it. Thanks for listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. Nathan, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Alyssa, thanks for co-hosting with me.
Yeah, it was fun.
And, yeah, and we will say good morning. Stay tuned for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long. Right here on 88.5 KRFY, Panhandle Community Radio.